The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Warning, this episode contains foul language and references to drug use, murder, and mental illness.
Listening to Keep It Weird, the podcast for all things strange, swampy, humid, batshit, creepy, alarming, and everything in between. Each week we sit down together from across the country and we talk about something weird. And after several weeks of chatting, just the old two of us, we're coming at you with a very special guest and a very special edition of one of your favorites and ours, Hometown Haunts. We're hometowning it over to Florida, that beautiful Incredible. Southern swampland full of weirdos and stories that sound made up, but they are real because it's Florida, the Sunshine State, home to the Florida Man and all of the hilarity slash chaos that follows him. Join us as we talk about the spooks, the crime, the legends, and all things bizarre from those beautiful beaches of Florida. I hope you packed your sunscreen because it's about to get hot in here. My name is Lauren, and this is my beautiful co-host, Ashley.
Hi, weirdos.
And joining us today is someone most of you should know from our never-ending fangirling and plugs of their show and of this wonderful person who we love. Please welcome good friend of the show and fellow podcaster from the Florida Men on Florida Man podcast, Wayne McCarty.
Wow, what an intro. Incredible. I'm blushing and I don't blush. Physically impossible for me to blush and I'm blushing right now.
Is it because you're so pale?
It is. When I was younger, I wasn't allowed to go in the sun as a child.
Which is hard in Florida.
Yeah, it's difficult. I was a shut-in. Yep, I was a shut-in. And so now I ease myself out. But yeah, I thank the world of you both. And I was telling somebody this morning, when we do guest appearances, it sometimes feels like work. But with you two, it feels like we're old friends catching up. And I miss you dearly. And if I talk too much about it, I'll start crying. So...
For sure,
which we
for
just
sure.
discussed.
Just happy to be here.
We discussed that we're a group of criers here.
We're all three criers, yeah. So let's not get us tied up in our emotions. Wayne, 100%. Last time we got to podcast with you is way back in 2019.
That's right.
We talked about the Betts Sphere.
That was a big deal.
A wild story that I had never heard of until we came on your show. And since then, a lot has come out about UFOs. U.S. government, UAPs, including declassified footage and theories from pretty high-ranking officials and scientists. So what do y'all think about the idea that the small orb and tic-tac UFOs zipping around, one, looks a lot like the Betts Sphere, two, what if they are drones? Not human drones, but like extraterrestrial drones, not piloted by anything, sent here to record and send back data.
Ooh, I don't hate that.
Do you like that idea?
I mean, I like it. I don't know if that's what I
think is happening, but I want, I sort of, now I want to think that that's happening because I love the idea of them just flying around us studying in their little sphere.
Yeah.
I think they would learn all they need to know about us pretty quickly.
Pretty fast.
We're such a brutal, megalomaniac society, you know,
sure.
I think they would just move on. Now, the idea that the U.S. government has new toys to play with, that interests me because I think traditionally that's their modus. What's the other half of
operandi?
That?
Operandi.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So they have something new and fancy and then they go, oh, it's aliens. And then like 20 years later, they're like, oh, well, our bad. That was us. You know what I mean? Like secretly they classify it.
Yeah.
And it's always like U.S. Navy that stumbles upon these things. Have you noticed that? Like it conveniently crashes near like a U.S. naval fleet, and it's like, oh, that's fun.
Every report is from the Navy. That is so true. They have all the good.
Isn't that interesting?
Stuff.
Yeah, I did read a report recently that there was increased sightings of the Tic Tac drones over the Ukrainian and Russian conflict zone, and it was fascinating because the Russians were like. You know, these UAPs are appearing and they seem to be just targeting us. And I'm like, oh, you don't say. That's you don't say. I think we're
behind. But even if it was, even if it was like extraterrestrial and they were down here, they would obviously be near where people are about to fuck shit up. Like 100%. I love the theory that it's not necessarily extraterrestrial, but it's ultra dimensional.
Yes.
And so they are in another dimension, but that means they're here. They're just on the planet with us, essentially. So if, say, we set off an atomic bomb, we might fuck some shit up on their side.
They're like, hey, could you not do that?
Yeah.
So
they're coming in. They're like, hey, politely. Can you please not? You just destroyed a city.
Yeah. And it's always near bodies of water.
Yeah.
They're always... Which is always interesting. And I do think that there's something along the lines of, there's a lot of theories about dimension hopping. Okay. And so like that can be done, you know, you go into the ocean far enough and all of a sudden you're not in the ocean anymore. I've heard a lot of
different
theories. Yeah. And I've also heard the theory that it's future us. It's future us who we've broken the time space, you know, field.
Yeah, but we're not allowed to communicate with ourselves because then we would change the course of history and
history.
You can't. And I said that to my teacher in high school. but I do think that like maybe there's a sense of they don't know they're here either, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like maybe
totally.
Like, you know, like it could be accidental, but the first sighting was Florida.
Yeah, there's definitely
Florida.
There's definitely something to the idea that because we have so many historical references to these things that they've just always existed. It's just now everyone has a camera on them at all times.
We're finally able to capture
them. Like it could just be that they're like a part of our world we just haven't figured out yet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm mildly offended about? And it's that like it's just been so blasé, hasn't it? Like these things come out and there's like hard evidence and everybody's like, did you see what like Kanye did? I'm like, bro, no one cares.
There's aliens now.
I don't understand why not everyone is losing their minds because Ashley and I feel like talk about it every week.
Wow.
We're so excited.
I think we're all just tired.
Yeah, we're exhausted.
I think that's also part of their plan. You know, keep us tired and distracted, and then they unveil this new stuff, and then we're just like, oh, whatever, man.
Whatever, I don't even.
What are the Kardashians
doing? Can I get a new
doing?
iPhone? My iPhone doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
I was going to say, the Kardashians always get thrown out as a distraction. Like, I swear, Kris Jenner works harder than anybody else. She's throwing the news out there.
Listen, when you have an entertaining show is an entertaining show.
I agree. God bless them.
God
I mean,
bless
honestly.
Them.
Honestly, dude, that's a tangent. I would do what they do if I could, you know? I mean,
100%. Except no one would ever want to film my life.
I mean, no, but nobody wanted to film theirs either until they did.
That's true.
True.
Then it became
but
interesting.
Back to the aliens, I will say this. I thought it was kind of interesting when the first drone footage was released back in like, I don't know, 2016, give or take 18, North Florida. And everyone called it crazy. And everyone was like, oh, well, it's some kind of mistake. And this pilot didn't know what he was doing. And now it's spoken about like so casually on CNN.
Yeah.
Like Tic-Tac ship was spotted. And it's like, no one just seems to be bothered by it. Like it's very interesting.
Another Tic-Tac ship. And also, could your canned green beans contain something that kills you? Find out after these messages.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Stay scared. Yeah, stay scared, right, everybody.
Well, if you guys out there have not listened to our crossover episode with the Florida Man, I insist that you do, because it's definitely some of the most fun we've ever had. It's truly a blast. And listen, a Hometown Haunts Weird Florida episode could truly be a 6-part series. So let's get into it. We've narrowed it down today to some of the lesser known, strangest stories that this state has to offer. Wild state has to offer.
Wild.
It's exhausting living here.
Wait. Can you remind me, what part of Florida are you in? Well, and remind our listeners.
We're in Central Florida. And I'm not being paid to say this. It's beautiful here. And so we're right outside of Disney, in a town called Lakeland. I'm wearing the hat, City of Lakeland.
Ooh, is that your new hat?
A new hat, yeah. And I was gifted this one, WWWD, What Would Wayne Do? That was a nice gift
that, someone sent me. I want that.
Thank you. But the City of Lakeland hat is what I'm wearing now. But yeah, we're in Central Florida, where we don't have winter and there's a lot of alligators, but people are mostly nice.
All right. That was a great sell.
When I visit Florida, it's very, it reminds me a lot of the Midwest. People are very nice.
Yeah. Oddly enough, and Florida is one of those states where you can drive 45 minutes and the culture will change completely.
Totally. Yes.
And so it just really depends on where you land, man. You're going to have a different experience no matter where you're at. But the important thing is to find the locals, ask them what they do, and then just kind of like when in Rome, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Also avoid the alligators.
We went and saw Tom Segura. He was in Lakeland recently. And
Joe and I just went to see Tom Segura as well.
Hey.
So fun, right?
Yeah, he's my favorite.
Me too. And he was saying that he's like, you know, someone told me in Lakeland that there's an alligator that's eaten two people and it's still down there by the lake. And they just pointed at it. And we were like, that's very normal. Like that's, we know exactly the alligator you're talking about.
Right.
And you just don't go near it.
Yeah. Just don't touch that alligator.
Don't mess with
them. As an animal lover, environmentalist, I'm like, I mean, you know what, man? Like it's a given. You're not supposed to play with them. And why hurt? Yeah.
Don't get into his space. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm that way with sharks. Whenever there's a shark attack, I'm like, well, was the shark on the beach?
Yeah. Was the shark in your house?
No, nope.
You were in
the shark
house.
Break in. No,
right.
You broke in.
God bless the sharks.
That's right.
You were trespassing. Yes. Okay. So my first story today, this story reminded me of a certain recently released horror movie that you may or may not have seen. I don't want to give any spoilers away for anyone, but if you guys have seen it, you can scream. But between 1955 and 1966, there were several reports of people encountering a strange pink cloud that hung low to the ground, almost like a rolling fog along the Tomoka River west of Daytona, Florida.
Okay. In the same
area, for years prior, local kids had told stories about a strange globe of light that would chase cars in that area as well. But there hasn't been any connection to those two phenomena. I just thought it was interesting to add that that also took place in that area. The pink cloud was usually seen in the cooler months by hunters and fishermen on the Tomoka River, which, you know, kind of helped them with their explanation of the cloud. Like, okay, maybe it's fog due to the temperature and pressure changes, and maybe it's just pink because of where the sun is in the sky. Yeah. Sure, come on, guys. Sure, we can do this. But some people still expressed concern because they thought it could possibly be some sort of chemical pollution, but it was a rural area with no industrial activity. So where could the pollution have come from? Eventually, sightings of the strange low pink cloud developed into a local legend that the cloud ate people.
Yes.
Sure.
Please. I'm
naturally
available.
I'm available.
It was blamed for the disappearance of at least 12 people.
Yeah.
Although there's no evidence the cloud is what took them, but it was, again, an extremely rural area, very low population. So multiple people disappearing was still startling, and to occur around the same time that this strange weather phenomenon was happening, I don't think it's crazy to make that connection.
No.
No. Seems and weird. I think it's cool, honestly.
Why not?
What's fascinating about Florida is these things will happen, these phenomena will happen, and then we'll casually go, by the way, it also ate 12 people.
Right.
And unanimously, everyone goes, yeah.
Well, sure.
Of course it did.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
What else is a low pink cloud going to do? Just don't go near you. Is it weird?
Stay away from it.
Yeah. So we actually covered this a while back, and it's in an area of Florida where a lot of people come from. Like Marjorie Keenan Rawlings is from that area. There's a few other folks historically that are from there. And there was a theory going around that now there's also massive phosphate mining.
Interesting.
And around the time the pink cloud appeared, the folks who purchased vast areas of land there were mining for phosphate initially. And so there was this phenomenon about this weather phenomenon that basically traps gases and doesn't allow them to be released, and mixed a couple things together and phosphate can become kind of pinkish.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so
and yeah. also, you know, that was a theory. Do you remember when those hikers died last year and it ended up being heat exhaustion?
Yeah. But,
one of the theories
was that there was some gas coming up from like underground caves and mines and stuff that was literally poison. And that was something I'd never heard of before. And that's like super common. So
it's possible. When you mess with nature, that happens occasionally, she fights back. And I think that's, you know, it could explain a lot of the weirdness about Florida. There's literal like poison gases just begging to be released.
Yeah.
And then you start mining the land and people are like, oh, it ate me, you know? So
the land is literally like, I dare you.
Yeah. The land is begging us not to live here. Yeah. And we're just like, you know what? We're going to live here even harder.
Dude, I heard that recently. This kind of freaked me out. I heard recently that the reason you can't really ask artificial intelligence how to fix like global warming is because it will always like work backwards to identify the problem, and the answer will always be eradicate humans.
Mm. Yeah, that's cool.
And we can't.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that's real cool. We're not ready to hear that.
Shame on us, bro.
I know, we're the worst.
I know, we can't even go there. We don't need to cry. So, the legend in the area is essentially that if you got too close to this pink cloud, it would eat the flesh right off of your bones. Even hunters claim to have found deer skeletons picked completely clean in an area where there were no bones or bodies the day before. Interesting. But even crazier, there are legends of the low pink dangerous cloud from 1605. It was recorded by a Spanish explorer named Alvaro Mexia. There are also local Native American legends about the cloud as well.
Okay.
Which, you know, leads me to the theories. Obviously, the underground gas, big theory. Yeah. Totally support that one. But again, could be a Native American curse. Let's not.
I hope so.
Forget about the Native American curses that litter our lands. Yep. So there's even a monument still standing from the 50s that depicts this story. And the story goes that Chief Timoki was a legendary chief of Temequan. Am I saying that right? Temequan?
Do you know? Yes, you are.
Okay. Uh-huh. Temequan warriors. One day, he got a little too big for his britches, took a golden cup, and drank water from a sacred spring, totally violating the practices of his people, disrespecting the land they live on. Huge no-no. So the tribe attacked his ass. They were like, we don't listen. Absolutely not.
No,
not today, not tomorrow, not ever.
We're not doing this with you.
But according to the legend, he was invincible because he drank and kept drinking this sacred water. So he was supposedly being hit with all of these arrows to his body, including his kneecaps, but wouldn't go down. So a beautiful maiden. I don't know why it's always a beautiful maiden and not just like a mom. But
yeah. This mom shows up.
This beautiful MILF named Olita.
love that.
Walked up to him, drew her bow, and put a poisoned arrow right in the chief's heart.
Yeah.
And since then, his spirit wanders the mist of the Tomoka River forever.
Wander that mist.
That's romantic, fun. Dude.
I like
it's
it.
A little romantic.
That's romantic.
Got a little saucy. I like
the statue is legit falling apart, but it depicts Chief Tomoki standing atop a large mound of rocks with members of his tribe below him pointing their weapons at him as he holds a spear in one hand and spills water from the sacred cup in the other. But what's kind of creepy to me is that the way the water spills out of the cup and down the tribe's people, it looks like mist.
Incredible.
The mist.
Yeah.
Stab me in the heart with a poison arrow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What a way to go.
Way to but go. Yeah.
Another theory is swamp gas. Thanks, United States government. Like, not everything is swamp gas. And then, the only other theory, which I thought was interesting, because recently, last year, there was a pink cloud over the Jersey Shore, over the shore. There was a pink cloud that, like, hovered for hours. And they found out that 200 miles away in Virginia, a rocket took off and it released a small quantity of water vapor in the air really close to the vacuum of space, which did something to this water vapor to keep it like it just like didn't dissipate and it just floated together and ended up like hovering over the Jersey Shore for hours. But people like you could look, you can Google like pink cloud Jersey Shore and you could see it. It's very strange.
Just a little vape.
Just a little vape, just a little puffing some cotton, ripping some sweet cotton. But that doesn't really explain the 1605 sighting or the Native American. We didn't have rockets.
Doesn't add up, right?
No.
Doesn't quite add up.
A lot of First Nation people wrote about the things that we still talk about, you know, and we've changed the...
absolutely.
We've changed the legends and the lore a little bit, but for the most part, most of it was documented way before we got here.
Mm-hmm. I know. I mean, Bigfoot.
Yeah, that's right. Skunk ape. I'm a little more frightened of a pink cloud than I am skunk ape and that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The pink cloud is really freaking me out.
It's unforgiving. Mm-hmm. And I think
relentless.
Yeah, it is. When we covered this, it was like this weird backwards, like, Florida Board of Tourism. Like, we were listing all the reasons why you shouldn't come here. And then it was like, also, there's this pink cloud that occasionally shows up and just eats you.
Yeah.
And then we were like, so good night.
Good night.
Hope you had fun. Thanks for listening.
Sweet dreams. Love you.
Yeah. If you
come
live
back
here,
and see us.
Yeah. Oh,
brutal.
Yeah. But I love that the land of Florida is like so... I don't know. Like, it's so one-sided on her own survival that even the First Nation people couldn't screw up. You know what I mean? Like, you make one wrong step and she's like, that's it.
Yep.
You know?
Gonna I'm have sitting to in my cloud and I'm eating all your people.
Yep.
I'm sending Pinky to get you.
Pinky. Yeah.
Pinky.
Wayne, what do you have for us today?
Well, okay, so my story starts and ends in a place called the Ocala National Forest. And it is a place that is just, it's beautiful. Okay. It's gorgeous. It looks like old Florida, but it's a very naughty place. A lot of bad things happen there. There are dozens and dozens of unmarked graves, even to this day.
Okay.
There are two absolute full ghost towns. And by that, I mean, there's just towns that people don't live in anymore. They have left it. And so it just kind of exists, this major piece of land in Florida. And so this one was sent in by one of our listeners because there's this legend, and this is one we were familiar with, about this deer that roams through the Ocala National Forest. And when you see it at first glance, it appears to be like a normal deer. But as you get closer, you can like it looks like an accident has happened. Like it's missing some fur and it's been hurt. Been like a bar fight or something, you know.
Little roughed up.
Yeah, or maybe like he's a bad deer, he's in a gang or something, you know. Yeah, that's how I sleep at night. A gang deer. He's a bully to the others. But if you see it, it's, and you see the markings and you see like the tore up parts, it's too late for you. Something terrible is going to happen to you. It's more of an omen. And this one also traces back to First Nation people who called Florida home well before the Spanish got here and the rest of us. And their legend was the same. If you saw the deer, something terrible was happening to your people shortly after.
Jeez.
And so we've covered that before. We've talked about it and looked into it before. And, you know, you, at the end of the day, it's similar to the pink cloud. You just chalk it up and go, hey, man, like, you know, one of the dangers of living here.
yep. And so, we have to deal with in our state.
Yeah. And just to be safe, I don't look at any deer. If I see a deer, I look away. Don't want to take any chances.
Oh, I would do the same. Truly. Yeah. Never take that chance.
No, like on the interstate.
It could be the gang leader.
Could be the one. And so one of our listeners wrote in, and it was last Halloween, and she had said, unfortunately, that her family had seen it like multiple times.
Oh, geez.
And the first time was in the 70s, and her grandmother, they were raised with this story. Her grandmother told them the story about how she was hanging clothes on a clothesline to dry, and her brother saw the deer. She heard the noise, looked up, didn't see anything, but her brother saw it, and her brother was younger than her. They were both grown enough, you know, to know of the legend, I guess. And so her brother got really, really sick and fought this illness for like 3 weeks, ended up passing away.
Oh my God.
And then the second time it happened, a grandchild, and the grandchild's mother, the mother of the child, saw the deer out back on the property, and then had a child pass away shortly after that. And so it's very tragic, almost like Tales of a Haunted Prairie type situation, yeah. You know, where like a lot of folks who pioneered the state, like they saw strange things and then they got sick from weird illnesses and they couldn't explain it, you know? And so the First Nation people, they used, you know, the deer and the pink clouds and all these other things to kind of explain it. But this story, you know, this happened to her grandmother and then again to like one of her nieces. And so she, at one point in time, was out back on the property around Christmas time when she was younger. And she saw what she said looked like a deer that had basically survived a hit and run.
Jeez.
It was like really beat up. And she wasn't thinking about the legend. She immediately was just like, oh my God, like there's something wrong with this animal. And when she ran towards it, like it left and went the other way. And then when she told her family about it, they started reminding her of like, this is awful now. Like, you know, something terrible is going to happen to one of us. And then nothing ever did. Everybody was fine. And so she believed that because she was not afraid of it and that she was concerned for it unknowingly and was pursuing it to help, that there wasn't some kind of weird punishment to follow because nothing ever happened. And so it's always interesting for us to kind of like have the historic perspective of a legend and then having someone like in real time go, here's why this is real to my family.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have to be very careful with it because I'm very quick to go, oh, it's the U.S. government, or like, oh, it's right. Whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But when someone's writing in with like a tangible, like, oh, hey, this like kind of like, you know, this has been something that's bad in my family, I'm like, oh crap, like that's like a real, to them it's very real. It's not a, you know. But that all that takes place again in the northern part of the Ocala National Forest, and so I have another story to share later if we have time, but they both take place in that same area. And so my larger belief is that there's just something in that neck of the woods. There's something there that's causing these weird things to spawn. These weird,
something
almost spiritual
is going
things.
On.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. There's definitely
which national forests always.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
There's definitely places all over. There's the is it Barrington Triangle in Connecticut? I think it's called Barrington. I could be wrong.
Is that the one we talked about forever ago?
Where like they're like. A lot of disappearances take place there and they're all weird. It's always like this guy was traveling on a bus through there and when they got to the stop he was gone but his luggage was still there, like what happened to this guy,
right?
And I just think there are places in the world, I know that like some woo-woo people might chalk it up to like ley lines, which is, you know, something
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the community. Like, right. I don't know what it is, but ley lines where like certain things intersect, and it makes that area, you know, maybe if you believe that Bigfoot is interdimensional, maybe this is just a window, like a vortex that Bigfoot can come in and out of. And like, maybe there's a weird vortex in this national park too. Maybe they're maybe that is why the national parks were developed in the first place. To protect these portals.
I love
the idea. They have to
be
protected because of like, what exists within them.
Yeah, like Teddy Roosevelt, right? Like Teddy. He was the one. Yeah, Uncle Teddy was like, hey, there's some nasty stuff in there. Mm-hmm. And for your own good, you shouldn't go.
You shouldn't live there, at least.
Yeah.
Well, nobody can build a house here.
I think, too, like, you know, there's dead folks everywhere. Yeah, so it's almost hard sometimes to go like, well, there's increased activity because people died there. I'm like, yeah, people die everywhere. Especially in Florida. But I do think there's something to the disrespect of large areas of like if someone's been buried and ceremoniously and and there's like ancestral burials. When that land is disrespected in some way, I do think there's possibly an increased chance of something naughty happening afterwards. And so, or nasty happening. And I think in the Ocala National Forest, when you have modern day, like, abandoned graves that are just like pushed aside, they're unmarked, people kick them over all the time on hiking trails, I think there's something to that. I think the land is like, hey, you know what, piss off. Because like I mean, like here's this haunted deer, you know what I mean? Like like whatever, you know. And I think there's something to it
for sure.
Yeah,
well, I hate to do this, but Lauren, what do you have for us today?
I always
what horrific story did you bring us?
I ruined everything. I had to be true to myself and bring a dark crime story. But just know that later in the episode, I brought some more silly Florida crimes, which we all love.
Good.
We all love to talk about the Florida man.
We
so we're gonna do
our palate.
But I wouldn't be who I am if I didn't get a little dark. So I apologize, Wayne. I feel like this is the darkest. You're gonna get us.
I emptied my sad tank before I came on the show. My sad tank is at neutral now. I'm ready to receive.
I will try not to overflow.
Okay.
So this is a dark, horrible thing that happened, but it also strangely is like so Florida man as well, and you will see why. Okay. So just after sundown on March 13th, 2021.
Dang.
A Florida man confessed to the police that he had just killed his grandfather with a baseball bat and a knife, and then he handed them something to prove it. Does anyone want to guess what he handed them before
hand.
I jump in? Ashley says hand.
An ear.
Okay, we have hand and ear. Let's find out what happened. So authorities arrived at the home of 77-year-old Ronald Wells Sr., and they were met by a 30-year-old man named Colby Parker sitting on the porch with Wells' bloody corpse just laying out beside him on the porch, super casual. The elderly man was unresponsive and pronounced dead at the scene, unfortunately. Parker, the 30-year-old, initially told authorities that he was Wells' son and that after smoking some marijuana, the two got into a little bit of a fight and his father came at him with a knife. And so in self-defense, he had to come at him with deadly force.
I don't buy it.
He had no other choice. He was scared to death, he said.
Marijuana does not do that.
That's
marijuana makes you chill, bruh.
Yeah, that wouldn't make you fight. That wouldn't make you aggressive.
It was methawana.
It was the good old methawana. So he was quoted as saying, I just had a Vietnam veteran attack me. I had to defend myself, and I'm sorry it got out of control.
Okay.
So then Parker said that he stabbed Wells in the heart 4 times, and investigators also found that one of the older man's forearms was bloody and had been partially degloved, meaning the skin had been removed.
Wow.
So brutal. Gosh. And again, I won't go, that's all I'm going to say. I won't go any deeper, but it was brutal.
Degloved.
So later, investigators found a shrine with bloody plastic, like fake human ears in Parker's room. And above it was a sign that said the family butcher next to an apron. So police quickly determined that Parker's story had to have been partially wrong, and he was maybe up to a little something more than they thought. So they get to talking to him a bit more. They're, you know, trying to coax a little more out of him. And they find out that 77-year-old Wells actually wasn't his father at all. It was his grandfather. Why even lie about that?
Why even lie? That's so weird.
No clue. And then they start patting him down because they're like, okay, we're going to have to take you in. And they feel something soft to the touch, but firm in his pocket.
He's like, sir, I'm married.
Sir, please buy me dinner. So Parker reaches into his pocket, like without a fight. He's like, oh yeah, I'll show you what's in there. He pulls out two human ears. Wayne, you're right.
Wayne, did you know this story?
I do it for a living.
He pulled out two human ears and said, Ronnie and Ronnie Jr. right here for you. This man.
Oh my God.
And what's even weirder is as he's holding out the ears, he is conversing so calmly with the officers, basically beginning to just tell them his whole truth, everything that actually happened, and then casually says, hey, can I have your gun? And this is all captured on body cam footage too. You can watch it online. It's insane. He says, can I have your gun? They're all like, what are you talking about? And then suddenly he snaps out of his calm marijuana state, what we would think would be a marijuana state, and then becomes violent and lunges for the officer's gun hanging on his belt. And then like a little bit of a scuffle ensues. They're able to subdue him pretty quickly after some, you know, kicks and headbutts here. And then they use the taser and they have him on the ground. They take him in. He like no issues, like he's arrested, he's convicted, everything. But he kept trying to change his story a little bit, saying like, oh, well, I only used the bat. Oh, no. Well, then I skinned him. Oh, no. Well, then I did this. And just basically they couldn't ever get to the bottom of why it happened. All he kept saying was we were, you know, smoking a little bit, laughing a little bit. And then suddenly it turned violent and we were fighting, which, again, that just doesn't track. So I think either they
Going on with the bloody shrine?
Again, no clue. He was just like, it's just a thing, just a little collection.
That
little
guy's got more bodies.
Yeah. Everybody's weird to somebody, you know? And I think his hobby of like stacking up bloody ears and then just conveniently having his pawpaw's ears in his pocket. Mm-hmm. It's like, it doesn't take an expert to connect the dot. You know, it's like yeah. You know, there's this guy's an ear guy, you know?
This guy's got a thing.
He's an ear guy. He's into the ears,
and we don't shame, but yeah. you can't kill folks and take their ears.
Yeah, and did he kill get the ears?
I believe
was it just the obsession with the ears? What did it?
That's the thing. Like he admitted to, you know, like wanting the ears. Like that was a thing to him. That was something that he wanted of his grandfather's to keep to himself after he was gone. That was the other weird thing. He started to suddenly be like so loving.
Yeah,
like I think I mostly did it because we were already fighting. And then I realized, well, I want my grandpa to be with my grandma who's already passed away. So I might as well, you know,
put him to rest.
I was about to say, he's got
hair. He doesn't. Well, no. Well, they didn't find any other human ears, just the plastic ones. And I think the other family members would have been like, that is interesting that in the open casket funeral, she didn't have her ears. No, he didn't have anyone else's ears. But yeah, apparently he wanted to reunite his grandparents. And that's what it all comes down to at the end of the day was, you know, just like a peaceful offering.
That's nice.
So, yeah, but kid. I think the marijuana was methawana, as you said, and that guy's got some
It's such a satanic panic story of like, and it all happened because they were smoking weed. The wacky weed.
Gateway drug.
Yeah. Gateway drug to murder.
To taking ears.
You know, the real surprise in this story is that the cop wasn't like, yeah, you can hold my gun, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, such a Florida thing. Sure.
Sure, why not? You can check it out.
See that cool kid?
Excuse
me.
That was thoroughly awful.
Yep. Awful, you but know, like Florida. It just
I was gonna say it didn't even put a dent in my sad tank. It's so wacky. Mm-hmm. Like it's just so weird. Like I feel bad for the pawpaw, yeah.
Yeah.
But like at the same time, it's like, I don't know, man. And an officer patted him down and was like, what is this like soft but firm thing in your pocket? And he was like, oh, it's some ears, bro. Like what?
Just my ears.
It is
just
so
the
like...
ears. And again, this is all caught on body cam footage. The ears and the "can I see your gun"
now,
moment is all on video. It's
did
crazy.
He call the police? Who called the police?
He did call the police.
So he called the police and then
called,
was just
and, like told
you know
on himself. Yeah.
I'm not going to take down my bloody ear
shrine.
I've worked hard on it. You
I've
can't
worked
make
hard
me do
on it.
It.
Yep.
It's mine.
Yeah, this has taken me years.
And
it you can't
certainly
have it.
Won't raise any red flags.
Nope.
You know what, man? I mean, like, it depends on what county you're in. Because if he had been, like, in Polk County,
might
that
have gotten
place,
away with it.
I think so. Or he would have been shot, like, 20 yards away. You just,
oh,
just never
it could
know.
Go either way. Yeah.
It's really. A roll the dice. But I do think, you know, there probably was some heavier drugs involved. That tends to be the case. Folks do a little meth, you know, recreationally, and then they start skinning people alive. So I think that, like, that's actually a pretty common occurrence in Florida. Unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah.
You can't do drugs, you know?
Don't do drugs, kids.
Yeah.
Jinx.
Yeah. Now we sound like that liberal DARE program in school.
Good old
I really
DARE.
Wish I could find a photo of myself from childhood in like my DARE shirt. Just so I could like put it next to me now and be like, look at this nerd.
I remember getting one of those shirts. And they made you promise, like, you're not going to do alcohol. You're not going to do marijuana. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a picture of like Bill Clinton in the background for some reason. And it was just like, there's this whole, like, you're not going to do any of this stuff. And I was like, I won't do nothing. I gave me that shirt.
Oh,
and I put the shirt on and I was just like, man, I'm cool. But you weren't cool, you know?
Total
I think
nerd.
It's very cool for kids to not do drugs. And I think it's very lame for adults to not do drugs.
Yeah,
that's a great way to put it.
Kids don't need drugs. What do you have to worry about?
Yeah. Right.
That's right. What are you trying
to
forget about in your life?
I got taxes.
I'm stressed
out.
When you're over 18, you've earned that privilege.
You've earned the privilege.
We actually say to my daughters, my oldest daughter's 9, and she, you know, she's going on like 35. She's very smart, very artsy. She's an entertainer. She's great. But we told her, like, hey, dude, like, there's just some things grownups can do that you can't do. And that's like the whole debate's over. Like, you can't drive. You also can't smoke cigarettes, you know, like, you can't like say the F word. You know what I mean? Like, you're 9. So
sorry about it.
But one day you'll get to, and it's going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great. The only rule in our house is just don't cut your papa's ears off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like,
it's like this little ask
keep
that
ears.
We have. Like, we all want to keep our ears on. Yeah. Like, if you 100%. Could let us have that, please.
Yeah.
Here's my thing for anyone who is young, who's a teenager, who's listening, because I know we have some young listeners.
We do.
I really do encourage you to not drink and do drugs until you're an adult, because your brain is not fully formed and you don't want to be an idiot.
Yeah.
When you get to
that's good advice.
I have friends who drank a lot or smoked a lot of weed in high school. I never did, who are idiots now. And the only thing, like, we had the same education. The only thing I can think of is that they smoked and drank a lot in high school. And it fucked up their brain forever.
That's great advice.
Yeah, I believe that's true.
You don't want to be a moron.
Therapy is really cool. Start going when
you're young. Super dope, guys.
Oh my gosh.
It's a miracle. No drugs, no drink, therapy.
Therapy. Don't take ears.
And not sell therapy enough. And don't take anybody's ears.
Have you, perchance, read about or visited a place known as Casadega, Florida?
Yes, it's both.
You visited?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Lauren.
Okay,
Lauren,
tell me everything, because why are both of you so excited? Okay, I'm not ready, but here we go.
Casadega is about 30 minutes southwest of Daytona Beach, so it's a totally doable addition if you need to add some strangeness to your next, you know, Daytona Beach vacay.
I think
it's
of like
not...
spring break, your spring break vacation to
exactly.
Daytona. Okay,
but you need to take a little day trip to Casadega. It's not technically a city, it's an unincorporated community, and it is known as the psychic capital of the world.
Fun.
And it's a community full of mediums and psychics.
Wait, Okay. I almost talked about this when we did our weirdest places on earth episode, but I was like, this isn't included because I don't think it's weird. It's where I want to live. But anyway,
yeah. I'm packing my bags now.
Yeah.
Casadega was founded in 1875 when a spiritualist named George Colby arrived by train and steamboat to Central Florida. I did include the train and steamboat to let you know that it was a trip, okay, in 1875 from New York City to Florida.
He put in the work.
George actually became a spiritualist as a young child after he got baptized, because he was baptized in freezing lake water when he was a kid, and he passed out because the water was so cold, and he believes that he may have died because after his baptism, he believes that he has direct contact with those on the other side. That's where all of his mediumship skills came from, was the baptism.
This poor kid.
Happened to me in the bathtub one time.
And now I can talk to the dead. So he became interested in the occult and eventually became a spiritualist by trade. He left his strict Baptist parents' home very early. They were not super thrilled about seeing dead people.
Yeah.
I get it. Mm-hmm. He would perform lectures and seances, and during one seance, Colby said that one of his spirit guides, an indigenous American named Seneca, described to him a parcel of land on which Colby could build a spiritualist retreat. So he and his family traveled to what is today Casadega, Florida, and what was then just like total wilderness, like there was nothing there. So they set up camp nonetheless, and before long they started accepting visitors, many of which became inhabitants. A lot of the homes, hotels, and auditoriums from his time are still standing today, although not the upkeep is great, but whatever. Casadega is actually a Seneca word for water beneath the rocks, which I think is super intriguing on a paranormal level, seeing as that is one of the theories for locations with large amounts of paranormal activity, that it could have something to do with the kinetic energy of the space, specifically running water over or under rocks that keeps the energy circulating there.
Guys, interesting.
I like that.
Casadegans were always and still are known for their egalitarianism. They, even back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, they would put women in leadership roles long before women even had voting rights. They fought for the abolition of slavery, despite living in the South. And they even went head to head once with the KKK back in the 70s. Ooh, so
that's right.
Casadega now today has about 70 full-time residents on about 57 acres of land. It's a nonprofit religious organization. There's about 170 members in total. But that group of people includes 43 certified mediums, which is apparently not something just everyone can say they are. It takes like 6 years of education and testing to become a certified medium. I didn't know that. And we've had episodes on mediums. So hello.
Right. I know.
All of their religious and spiritual services are open to the public, and so is their community in general. You can visit the town and all its little shops. There are no stoplights or brand name stores, though, so don't expect to swing by Walmart or Starbucks while you're there. You can even come in and walk through their fairy trail, which is just a trail completely decorated with makeshift altars, which is very cool.
Very cute.
There's a welcome center right as you enter the camp. It's called the Andrew Jackson Davis Educational Building and Bookstore. At least that's what the sign outside reads. And it sells metaphysical gifts, books, and souvenirs for the town. And it's also there that you can find a large binder listing all the contact information for the mediums that live there that are currently taking appointments. So Illinois, I'm leaving. I got to move to Casadega, Florida.
Sorry about
it. Cool place.
Yeah, I want to go.
From what I understand, it's also not very competitive. You would think, you know, like if you have 45 burger joints in one town,
right?
Yeah, there's going to be some tension.
Yeah,
but the mediums there, not so much. It's very sweet community. We had the privilege of visiting, and everyone is incredible. incredibly nice. It's a beautiful place. It is such a vibe. My favorite part is how George, okay, goes under the water. Yeah, gets a little cold, passes out, comes back, and is like, I need to get paid for this. You know what I mean? like instantly, he's like, how can I incorporate?
Something out of this.
I need a little bit of money. But no, it's interesting because we actually read some stories that some listeners had submitted of some of the cool things that the townsfolks did. And one was battling off the KKK, which is like so legendary.
Obsessed with that.
Yeah, it's so cool. And there were some other legends and stuff about folks who were like hurt and terrorized in Casadega. And we dug into it, and it's not true. A lot of Baptist folks in the surrounding areas were trying to spread rumors about the place. And so they started making up stories about how folks were getting murdered there and like all this different stuff. And none of it was true. And it's in fact the opposite. So
petty high school gossip.
That's something about spiritualists and occultists and even Satanists that is very misunderstood. A lot of people hear those words and they're immediately like, danger, like evil, danger. Right. And it's like, they're pretty chill people. Like, I don't know of any actual Satanists who have even hurt an animal. Like, that's against their beliefs. For sure. So,
they're just trying to chill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. And unfortunately, you know, not to draw like unhealthy parallels, but when you look at what happened like in Salem, that's a really popular example. People probably recognize that. Unfortunately, that stuff happened all over the country.
Oh yeah.
And it just wasn't as, you know, as popular. But in Florida, when we joke around and say this place is a lawless swamp, that is very true. And so up until Florida was considered frontier in some areas in like the 1930s. So not that long ago it was considered frontier in Florida. And so unfortunately you had areas like Casadega and where some Baptist ministers like, you know what? They're all witches and they're all also doing these things. We need to kill them. And it just happened under the radar. And people, you know, and you never hear about it unless you really dig into it.
Which part That's of so me true. Is like dope. Just in the sense that
like in the Mad Max sense of it.
Yeah, in the sense that like, you know what? Take care of your own shit. Like who needs to involve the government every step of the way? Who needs to involve law enforcement every time you have a problem? Deal with that shit. But at the same time, don't mess with some sweet little spiritualists who are just like minding their own business.
I know. Truly just doing their own thing.
Just living in the woods.
I will tell you this. I didn't believe what we were selling on this show until 2020 when COVID happened and the whole world's on lockdown. No one's doing anything. And we had a friend of ours that owned a local business. And I called and I was like, hey, how can we help? Like, what can we do? We want to get dinner. Are you serving? And he was like, yeah, we're doing curbside to go. We'll leave it on the steps. You can pick it up. Do you want a bag of alcohol? And I go, come. Yeah, what?
What?
Come again?
Is that,
yes.
An option?
And he said, yeah, the state's allowing us just to serve like unregulated alcohol because it's the end of the world and why not? And so we got a Ziploc bag of mimosa.
That is phenomenal.
Like driving down the road with this gallon sized bag, and I looked over my wife and I go, I think this is it. Like, I don't think we're coming back from this. I think this is like, this is Florida in its true form. No one's checking.
No rules, man.
Right. Yeah. Lawlessness.
And we made it out, but goodness gracious.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Wayne, I want to hear your other story from the national park, please.
Yeah,
it's brief. Please. Yeah, Ocala National Forest. It's brief, but some men were on a what's the opposite of like a hen party? Like a bachelor party,
cock,
I guess.
Yeah. Cock night.
Yeah,
cock they were, night.
It was
sure.
a big cock night with a bunch of guys, and they were in the woods as those things happen, you know.
Yep.
And they
That's
were
why
hiking.
I have my cock nights.
I've been invited to a few, and so they're out in the woods and celebrating, and they decided to stop halfway through the hiking at this cabin, and it was like a one-room cabin. Like, it wasn't anything fancy, it wasn't storming or anything. They were just taking a breather, and one of the guys found a bunch of old stuff, like a bunch of boxes of old stuff.
And what do we do when we find a bunch of boxes of old stuff in an abandoned cabin?
We claim it as our own.
Touch it.
We unpack it and keep it in our house.
They didn't follow the rules. But they found a journal in one of the boxes, and in the journal, it was kind of a glorified like sign-in sheet that you would find like at an Airbnb, you know, where it's like, oh, I stayed here and it was great. But unfortunately, the first half of the journal was an actual journal of a woman who had supposedly built the cabin, her and her husband, in the true frontier days of Florida. They had traveled there because the state was giving away land in the same way that Alaska was doing not too long ago. Like, they want people to live here, so they're giving away plots of land. And so her and her husband traveled here, and the nearest neighbor was 30 miles away. And so they built this cabin, and shortly after living there, she was journaling because he was always out doing homestead stuff. You know, he wasn't around. And she was journaling about how, like, you know, at nighttime she hears things, and her husband is very religious, and he was saying how she probably should pray more. And it's always like, you know, really antiquated, you know, responses. And the journal entries begin to get more and more frantic and more frightening. And then, unfortunately, about a third of the way through one of them, she says, you know, my husband's gone to town and he's going to get help for me. He's going to get some medicines and supplies and stuff. He'll be back in a week, but I fear that I won't make it through the week. And after her husband left, she began detailing, you know, knocks and scratches at the door, voices that were saying to her that, like, we want the baby belongs to us. And she had no knowledge of even being pregnant. She had no idea that she was actually with child. In one of the entries, after like day three or four, she says, you know, my husband's calling to me, and he's outside the door, but he can't get in, so I'm going to let him in. And that was the last entry by her in the journal. And so essentially, whatever the voice was or whatever the entity was that was causing her to kind of, you know, unfortunately go mad, began to mimic her dear husband. And so she let it in. And so when you rewind and you look back, a lot of First Nation folks who lived here, they had legends of spirits that owned and ruled the land before they even arrived. But you had to, kind of like the old vampiric legends, you had to invite them in. They could not come into your dwelling. And so, unfortunately, this one seemed to have tricked her. And so these gentlemen found this journal in the cabin, along with a bunch of other entries that were just punk teenagers, you know, writing and stuff. And so there is no, like, the book is very dated. I think the early date on it was like 1920-ish. So it is possible that it was just left there for years and years and years.
Yeah.
It could be a prank, but if it's a prank, we're talking like someone before the Titanic or shortly after the Titanic was like, oh, let's trick some people with a journal.
Yeah, I'm going to write this journal, and maybe in 100 years, people,
somebody will find it. Right. Yeah. It's actually more far-fetched to believe it's a prank than the other way around.
I agree.
But yeah, and again, that happened in the northern part of the Ocala National Forest.
Ooh, so. That forest. That, it reminded me a lot of the Bell Witch story that I told this Halloween. I don't know if you remember, Lauren.
Of course.
It's a terrifying story of a voice that could mimic other people just showing up in this cabin and terrorizing this family.
But what if it was like, what if it did like Barack Obama or something? That'd be kind of crazy.
I would definitely open the door. I'd be so excited.
For me, that would be it. I'm like in this cabin. I'm like so scared. And they're just like, I'm not going to try to do it. But you know what I mean?
I did want to hear your impression.
No, I can't. But if they were just like, hey, it's me, Obama, I would be like, well, I mean, dang it, man. Come in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
come right in, sir.
Let's talk about it. So
let's chat.
And then my journal would end. So,
and then that's it. That's all he wrote. Okay. Lauren, anyway. Okay. Well, so we've been talking for a while. Should I move to my sillies and not do another dark one? Probably.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do some silly.
Let's do a silly.
Some sillies.
Yeah.
Okay. Where did my everything just go? Okay. Some sillies. Florida man. Let's go.
These are official Florida man stories.
Yep. They are real. These are real news stories, little crimes that happened. A Florida man in Vero Beach. Where's Vero Beach? Do you know? Does that mean anything to you, Wayne?
Yeah, no, it's on the coast.
It's there. Okay. a beach. Yep. It is.
Yeah.
Okay. A Florida man in Vero Beach had a very interesting defense when he was charged with a DUI. The Indian River County Sheriff's Office responded to a report at a McDonald's where a woman claimed that her car was being repeatedly collided with. Somebody was behind her just hitting her bumper over and over, like very lightly, but just they were clearly out of control. And when she would look back, like the guy,
like in the drive-thru,
in the drive-thru, and she could tell something was off with him, and she was like, somebody help me. So police are called, and they see this man like taking his foot on and off the gas, like clearly like feeling himself, feeling good. And they say, we need you to step out of the car, blah, blah, blah. And when they ask, you know, what's going on? Have you been drinking tonight? He said, I am feeling pretty good. And then he takes a huge swig of his Jim Beam bottle just right in front of everyone. Oh. And they're like, oh, okay, well, okay, so you're drinking and driving. Like, we see, you're not even going to try and fight it. Like, okay, come with us, you're arrested. And he said, well, we'll wait. I wasn't drinking while the car was moving. I would only drink when it was stopped, like at stop signs and traffic signs, and when I was stopped on the drive
around.
Right.
So, like, I never, when I was accelerating, I was never drinking. And he, like, he truly tried to talk himself out of this and sat there at the McDonald's and negotiated. But he did indeed get arrested. Spoiler.
Okay, weird. Here's the thing. Is he wrong?
Well,
I mean, you got to find those little workarounds to tickets.
I respect that he was trying to find the loophole, but yeah, that's difficult.
I don't know, man. Yeah, I think that it's one of those things where if the cops are involved, I tend to go like, well, I'm going to side with the other guy until it gets like too, you know, crazy, like cutting the cop's ears off and stuff. But like, with this one, I kind of feel like if I were a cop, I'd be like, dude, you know what? Kudos.
Good.
Like you solved the law. Like you figured it out.
You solved the law.
You solved the law.
So yeah, I side with him. I side with this guy.
So we're all voting. He should have been let go.
Yeah.
He should have at least been allowed to get his McDonald's. I hope that they still let him get his food when he was put in the back of the car. Like, I hope he got his double cheeseburger.
I believe he did.
Okay. The next Florida man was in Orlando, which I feel like I hear a lot of Orlando stories, and like, I get it. I like it. A Florida man in Orlando blocked the path of a truck by performing flips in the middle of a very busy road. Officers were called to the scene and approached this very enthusiastic gymnast. And as soon as they started to get close to him, he started doing flips and cartwheels to escape their grasp. Every time their hands would get close to him, he would do a cartwheel or a backflip or a round off, whatever he could pull out to get away. And there is a viral video online that is pretty funny of this man. He's in like skin tight pants, like the tight, you're seeing everything.
How
like,
is his form?
Yeah,
pretty good.
Really,
especially because his shoes are broken, like the sole is ripped off from the bottom, and so they're flapping around, which would trip me up. Like, I would not be able to do
not
a good
cartwheel,
but and he's wearing a crop top as well, so like tight belly exposing clothes, which also I feel like could hinder someone, but he was in it performing his acrobats. And
I can't believe this. Will you send me a picture?
I can send you the video. When I say his form was good, like, should he go to the Olympics? No. But impressive for, like, his broken shoes. He did look like he had, you know, maybe he had taken something earlier in the night or taken
methawana?
A little sip of something. Maybe the methawana. But it did seem as if he thought he was auditioning for some sort of dance team. And this was, like, the big performance. And the cops were just, you know, they were
interrupting.
On it, so. And then finally, they were able to detain him. But. You know what? I like that he tried.
Really, you know what you know what stops a flip? A taser. Pretty quick.
Yeah.
Doesn't take much.
That'll bring you down real quick.
Okay, well, let me ask you two. Can either one of you do a flip?
No.
Forward. Okay, so same. I can't do one frontwards. I can't do one backwards. Mm-mm. So what if it's like something that you just like acquire? I've never known anyone to practice flips. I've never seen that in my life. So what if you just get this gift of like a flip? Like it's gifted to you. And
everyone gets one flip.
Right. But if you inherited that, you would go, look what I can do. And
look
I would be showing everybody.
Exactly. I would show everybody if I could do flips.
Where's the busiest road? I'm going to go to it.
And yep. I'm not even going to let this truck get by because this truck driver needs to see my flips. And yeah, it is impressive.
You made a good point, actually. I'm on his side now.
Being able to do a cartwheel is even impressive to me. My son called me out the other day because he was trying to do a cartwheel because he saw somebody do it on one of his YouTube videos. And he said, "Mom, will you show me how to do a cartwheel?" And I was like, you know, I'll give it the old college try, but I really don't think I can do a cartwheel anymore. And I did one of the most hideous versions of a cartwheel that's ever been done. It is so hard to get legs above your body that way.
Cartwheeled. Not once.
Well, it's a cartwheel is unique in the sense that it's one of the only things you can do where you feel like it looks good. Like you, like when you're doing it, you're like, that was like, solid. That was good, right? That was
everyone was like, your legs were bent the whole time.
Yeah. And then your son's like, I want a divorce. Yeah. Like
that's Ashley, you'll like this one. A Florida man in Emerald City.
Oh,
which.
Like what? Pokemon.
Was arrested outside of a strip club for attempting to smuggle in his cat.
Okay.
And it's not a euphemism. I have to clear that up, you know, like just we're talking about a strip club. No, he had a cat.
Yeah.
His name was Everett. He tried to enter the Emerald City Gentlemen's Club with his favorite feline from home, but he was refused entry when the wiggling lump under his shirt was trying to escape after he entered the joint. And 911 was called because he was refusing to leave after asked several times. And he was like, me and my bud, little, I don't know what his name was. We're going to call him Stewie, little Stewie, the kitty. We want to come in. He was so intoxicated that no taxi wanted to pick him up, and he did have to go sit in the drunk tank. And
did the cat get to go with him? Here's the thing. I do not see the problem. I think this strip club is far too strict.
That's what I'm saying. What is the cat doing wrong? He was just chilling.
It's a cat. Let that cat in to see them titties.
He was just snuggling in his shirt.
The kitty needs titties. You know what I mean?
Kitty needs titties.
I think it is quite rude. And I think that it's fascinating to me, like whenever there's a crime, and I'm using quotation marks right now, and there's a crime where like someone gets arrested for something so ludicrous where it's like, bro, like he just wanted to bring a cat in. Like there's been worse things.
There are so many worse things.
I guarantee you.
1,000%.
And the guy's Florida, probably sweet. So it's Florida. Yeah. So guns were probably allowed in there. But not a cat.
Yeah, 100%.
Guns, no cats though.
This guy loves his cat enough to bring his cat. He's probably a nice guy.
Probably sweetie.
He's probably the guy you want to be in there. Tips well, you know.
I'm on his side again.
I am too. I feel like I've
three
been
for
on...
three.
Three for three. Yeah. I feel like all these guys are just living their truth.
Yeah.
And
till the cops show up.
Till the cops show up.
Cops are ruining all of the fun in these situations. Yeah.
Defund the police.
If there's ever been an argument for defunding the police.
It's just a poster of Stuart the cat.
Little Stuart popping out of the guy's shirt at the strip club. Like, let him in.
Yeah.
Let him in.
Okay, let's see if we can go 4 for 4. This will be my last one. Okay. My last silly. There was a Florida man who was going through a Wendy's drive-thru or back in a fast food drive-thru.
Okay.
And he flung an alligator through the drive-thru window finding the reptile on the side of the road. Okay. He tried to order a drink from employees, and when he got up to the window, he was throwing it into their zone. They all screamed and flipped out and had to scatter away. And he tried to toss money at them as well, saying like, hey, I gave you a gator and my money now.
I paid you, give me my
drink.
Right.
And he didn't have enough money. I also thought that was a fun little note of the story. Like the change wasn't correct for the drink. And when police were called and he was arrested on the spot, he said, it was just a stupid prank. I'm a prankster. This is just what I like to do. Mm-hmm. Isn't it harmless when, like, actually somebody could have gotten really hurt? And I don't think the gator attacked anyone because it was terrified as well, but it did. I think, like, the way it was flung, it did claw into one of the workers a little bit. So, like, somebody did get hurt because of it. And
maybe if you threw a squirrel in, we might go, well, okay, that's, you know what?
Yeah. A squirrel could go apeshit on somebody too, but maybe.
I feel bad for the gator. I feel bad.
That's also animal cruelty a bit.
Yeah. And also those poor people at Wendy's, man, just trying to work, you know, and
trying to sling their spicy chicken sandwiches.
Right. And they get delicious. A gator toss at them.
A gator. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like a small one, but nonetheless a gator. I feel bad for the workers.
A dinosaur
and the gator.
Got thrown in a window at their face. Yes. Like
1,000%. It's
not on his team. This guy lost me.
That's the kind of stuff I agree. And this is the kind of stuff that, like, when folks hear it, they go, that's not real. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, that didn't really happen. It's
documented. In Florida. It did.
Yeah. Yep.
That was a Tuesday night at Wendy's. Uh-huh.
And the judge, if anyone wants to know the end of the story, he did have to go to court because, again, like, people were hurt. Things happened. Right. He could never visit a Wendy's again. And he wasn't allowed to own a gun, which, fair. But then also he wasn't allowed to touch anyone's dog. And I don't know why that was part of the rule, but he's not allowed to touch people's dogs.
Does the punishment fit the crime, though?
Yeah.
That's the confusing thing.
Everybody calm down for a second, okay?
I know.
I'd rather go to prison. I'd rather go to prison.
Lock me up.
I wonder if it has to do with the animal cruelty of it all, and that he found this gator just living its life on the side of the road, picked it up, got into the car to be part of his prank. And it's like, that wasn't his pet. I was just trying to think, like, why?
Yes. Yeah.
But then why not be able to touch cats or guinea pigs? I don't know why it's just dogs, but.
Yeah. No. That is interesting. We used to have signs in Florida that said, don't molest the alligators. And they were like official, like, government signs. They weren't like funny signs or anything. Oh. And then like 3 years ago, someone was like, we should change the verbiage on that. Because that feels weird. And I'm like, at this point, bro, it's been like 50 years.
Yeah.
Like, no one's molesting alligators. You know, like, leave them be, leave it alone. And they changed it. And now the sign in a lot of places just says, like, warning, there's alligators here. And I'm like, bro, what? Mm. That's not what the original meaning was at all.
No, yeah, that totally changes it.
Yeah. Stop being mean to gators. Stop throwing them through windows. Yes.
Leave them alone. Don't throw them through a drive-through window.
Bring them to a strip club.
Speaking of signs that got changed that break my heart. When I was growing up in Walnut Hill, Illinois, there was one sign that was essentially, it's like, slow down, there are children in the area.
Yeah.
But the sign said, beware the children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Respect.
And I would do anything to go back in time to steal that beware the children sign. Because I feel like if you're driving around, you see a sign that says beware the children, you're going to be like, am I in a Stephen King novel?
Like, right. Like, what are the kids doing? Why are they evil? I remember those signs. And now
it's like the beginning of slow children playing usually.
Yeah.
Which then people make the joke that it's like children playing, like, as opposed to slow children playing. Yeah.
Right.
But beware the children.
That's so good.
So much better.
Oh, I miss that. That was good times.
So good.
Okay, simpler Wayne, times. Is there anything to, because I heard this and I don't know if this is true. The reason so many crazy, crazy, crazy news stories, Florida men stories specifically, come out of Florida has something to do with reporting in Florida?
It's true. It's part of the reason. It's the Sunshine State Law, Sunshine Law. It's a law that promotes journalistic visibility. And so essentially, the crimes that a lot of states can kind of cover up. And if you do something naughty, like bringing a cat to a strip club, and you are in like Georgia or somewhere, you can go, hey, I don't want anybody to know that. And they can go, cool. In Florida, everybody goes, nope. We're posting it tomorrow. We're
broadcasting it.
We're putting a picture of you and your address.
Already tweeted it.
Honestly, maybe if we did that. Well, no, didn't work in Florida. Why would I think it would work anywhere else?
Right.
I was going to say, maybe if we did that everywhere, people wouldn't do such crazy stuff. But clearly.
Feel a little more shame, but nope.
You guys have Florida men stories literally every single week on your show.
Yeah. So Cameron handles the headlines on our show, and he has a plethora. He does about 10 every episode, and it's a journey. He comes through 100 just to narrow it down to 10, and they're fresh every single week. I do think that, you know, the logical leap is it would help people behave. And all it's done is shine a light on how crazy Florida is. The other two things are the heat has been theorized as part of the reason why we're crazy. And then there's like this overpopulation slash drugs. And so I guess you could say you could point a light at California and go, cool, let's report on everything. I just choose to believe that it's just unique to Florida.
Yeah.
Let's go on believing. We've already all created this beautiful fairy tale.
Yeah.
That Florida is just this special land with all the crazy.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. And
got it going on.
I got to be in bed by 9:30, so I don't really party anymore. But like whenever I was younger and I could really throw down a lot of cock parties in the woods, reading some demon journals and stuff.
Yeah, I bet. Sure.
But I've a lot of my closest friends are from Seattle, L.A. and the like, and they moved to Florida for some reason. And so like and whenever we talk about it, like it takes them like a year or two before they go, it's real, huh?
It's real.
Feeling it, aren't you? Mm-hmm. So
you're feeling the vibe of Florida. Yeah,
it grows on you.
Well, thank you for taking us through this wonderful trip.
Thanks for having me.
What a Florida journey.
Yeah.
It's
thank you
been
for having
fun.
Me.
I make sure listeners, please, if you haven't already, check out Florida Man on Florida Man. It's one of my all time favorite pods.
So good.
They share strange stories. I guarantee you've never, ever heard every single week. And Wayne, Josh, and Cameron, and who could forget Greg?
Of course.
Are truly the funniest hosts. You have to listen to their show. Wayne, you're the best. I love you to the moon and back.
Love you both so much. This has been an honor. And
thank you for being here.
My sad tank was a quarter of the way filled when I came on here, and now it's empty because you both made me so happy. So thank you.
Yeah, we just adore you. I don't know how you managed to be like so witty and funny yourself, but find the partners on your podcast that you did. Like, how are you all the funniest creatures on this planet?
Thank you for saying that. They're sweet boys, both of them.
They are
I love them both to death. Would die for all of them. So yeah, they're amazing.
My favorite thing about Josh is that he was attacked by a bobcat.
That's real.
It's something I will never forget as long as I live. And it really is special.
It really, anytime I'm down, I just think about
Of the bobcat.
Being faced by a bobcat, and I'm immediately picked back up.
We did a live event not too long ago at a conference, and he told that story. He said that. He had a temporary tattoo on his bicep, and that he slung the bobcat so hard that after the fight, the tattoo was on his forearm. and I think about that all the time. Like, it was like one of the best descriptions.
That is perfect.
We'll have to have him on because I was gonna say
honestly,
imagine what will come out of his mouth. Well, that's all the time we have this week for Keep It Weird. Again, thank you so much, Wayne, for joining us. Thank you, listeners, for listening. And as for us, we are kind of done for a while. We've got the holidays coming up. Lauren and I will be giving you a yearly wrap-up, as we usually do. And hopefully, we will be able to record a Christmas special this year when Lauren visits. But we'll see what life has in store for us.
I know, amazing.
You never know.
Life is wild right now.
In the meantime, though, follow us on social media at Keep It Weird Cast so you can keep track of everything we are up to. Follow the Florida Men on social media. It's at
FMOFM.
FMOFM. I was trying to do it from memory, but it was not happening.
It's at FMOFM podcast.
FMOFM podcast. Consider donating to our Patreon at www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast so you can help us produce our show, and you'll get bonus episodes and a monthly newsletter in return. You can buy merch from our TeePublic store by going to www.keepitweirdpodcast.com/merch. And last but not least, if you have a moment, you can support us by leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify. Mm. Wayne, what's our sign-off this week?
I thought we could recite the entire Gaelic prayer from the 1737 service. If you guys are ready, we'll go ahead and start.
Mm-hmm. All right, sounds good.
Time does
pass. Yes. Slowly.
Sometimes. Faster.
Faster.
Than you like.
You like.
But take a moment
to
appreciate.
See
and appreciate.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And keep
it weird.
Wayne, I can't believe you came prepared with that Gaelic prayer.
That was off the cuff, babe. I can't believe you both ran with it.